And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Come on, crazy.
Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Okay, I'll put the banana away now. Kicking off the show today. I love it. By the way, 389 times we have started this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. That means maybe 390? Maybe if we get enough people to go and like and share and subscribe and tweet out links and all that kind of stuff, that'd be great. As we're doing this from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio, this beautiful, wonderful broadcast place. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We do want to thank our friends at Pickle Jar for sponsoring the podcast today. You okay?
Yeah, I'm just putting on a blankie.
It is kind of cold in here, isn't it? Pickle Jar, if you love music, you got to download the app. It is awesome. It's a way to, like, let's say you're in a club and there's a band playing. You can actually tip the band on stage using the Pickle Jar app. You just kind of scan their QR code. You can do all kinds of cool stuff. Show gratitude to your favorite artists. You can support some really cool causes. Use it for fundraising. I mean, it's amazing. Plus, you can watch exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else. So definitely check it out. Download for your iPhone, for your Droid, anywhere you get your apps, and, of course, at picklejar.com.
Everyone, I think the week has been a good one. We had started it off with Hank Williams Jr. In the studio. That kind of got a little.
We had, do we say what, I don't want to say what country star it was, but we had a country star reach out to us about the Hank Jr. Interview. And he said, man, I just watched that entire thing. And he was basically saying that Hank was a little too belligerent. He's like, and now this person is a huge Hank Williams Jr. fan. I know this for a fact. He and I have talked Hank Jr. several times. And he was like, man, I was so excited to hear him. And he said, I wish he would have been a little more humble.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have that. And it's, you know.
It's an like act. I think a lot of what Hank Jr. puts on is an act. Like when he comes out and he's like, I'm Odell, icons don't ask, they tell. By the way, a very iconic phrase. But yeah, I mean, the whole little, I don't know, there was parts of it you could tell he was having fun with us. Like, and especially Big D mentioned it. There was one point we were talking about the album and he goes, did you listen to it? And we're like, yeah. By the way, if you want to watch the interview, it's on our YouTube channel. It's amazing. We got like so much out of him, but it was cool just to be by this guy who's been connected to whatever. Like when he was talking about Elvis and Ray Charles and Johnny Cash and all these people coming to his house just to see his mom and visit with her because she was the widow of Hank Williams Sr. I mean, just all the craziness. But what I was going to say is that there's parts of the interview you could see he was having fun. But then there was other parts where in the middle of the interview, we're talking and he gets up and he's answering his phone and he's talking to people and we're doing an interview and he's on his phone. He walks away. I've never, ever seen anybody do it. And it was baller. I mean, nobody else besides a legit legend could get away with just not caring the way he did.
He also has a sense of reality that we can't comprehend. That coming the lineage, it's not just his fame. It's the lineage that he comes from. The only people that might even be able to understand are like the Nelson brothers coming from two generations or Drew Barrymore.
Even royalty in a way because
it's just a different, like I can't even comprehend what his life was from the time he took his first steps, right? That it's just not even, because it's not fame. It's just such a different alternate reality and existence from I think most people on this planet. Like there are famous people and then there's Hank Jr.
Yeah, he was the Monday Night Football guy for 30 years.
Yeah.
He was Country Boy Will Survive. I mean, he was his daddy's son.
Mm-hmm.
For the beginning of his career, he was Little Hank. And it's just, it's
when
crazy.
You look at Drew Barrymore, who was going to Hollywood parties when she was nine.
Yeah.
And legit adult parties, and that it's just being in that the legacy, like you said, royalty, lineage, whatever you're born into that way.
It's a birthright.
It's weird. And it's very few people, and coming from one that's a different generation, because it's still different than a Goldie Hawn and Kate Hudson situation. This is older. I've tried in my head to comprehend him, and I can't, because it's so foreign, I think, to so many. There's just very few people in the world, I think, that would be able to relate to him.
Yeah, I mean, as a lot of people are going to see the Elvis movie mm-hmm. this weekend, which, by the way, looks unbelievably
looks so
amazing.
Good.
It's like almost 3 hours long.
Oh, wow.
They said, and Baz Luhrmann said there's a 5-hour director's cut of it as well.
Wow.
So that'll probably come out at one point. But
what's
just
the
like,
name who does that?
Baz Luhrmann?
No.
The director's cuts?
Austin?
No, who's the guy who's in it, the movie?
Austin Miller?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that him?
Yeah.
Tom Austin. Hanks?
Tom Hanks, that's it. Thank you.
Well, Tom Hanks is not Elvis. He is
the Colonel. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so a lot of people are going to see that this weekend. And, you know, when you're watching this movie, remember, the character that this movie is about would go to Hank Jr.'s house
mm-hmm.
just to visit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of world. We're going to see a movie about mm-hmm. a guy who used to visit Hank. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the kind of iconic status. I mean, when you think about that, it's crazy. I mean, presidents, you know, would visit. I mean, that's crazy big stuff. So anyway, it was a crazy cool interview. He came in here puffing his cigar and threw down his little briefcase humidor, which was great. And he popped out some, who knows how much those cigars were.
I think they're like 26 a piece.
That's what I heard was $26.
Yeah. I bought two boxes one time for 15.
Two whole boxes. Swisher Sweets, man.
Got me some Swisher.
You almost made me, I giggled when you said that, and I giggled out of my nose. I like made a little snort, and now I feel like I have boogers hanging out.
I like the idea of smoking a cigar. I like the smell of a cigar and a pipe, but man, it gives me such bad heartburn. I used to smoke in high school.
I get a buzz. And I don't do anything. So if I smoke a cigar, I'm like buzzed.
Yeah. I don't
it's
either.
Weird.
Yeah. But it's.
I mean, out of all of us, D does the absolute least in that field.
But it's. But it also stays with me all
yes.
night into the next
bleh.
Day.
Bleh.
And I'm kind of like burping it up. And I'm
ooh.
Just terrible heartburn. And then someone said, well, it's because you're smoking the cheap stuff. I mean, we were in high school. We were getting Swishers and stuff.
Yeah.
And so we would go. I remember we would drive. Me, Jeremy, and Gerald, and Sam would drive up from Cookeville to here in Nashville and go to that place over on Elliston. It was on the second floor. It's like a little.
It was a humidor, like a cigar
yeah,
shop?
Yeah, like a little
there's
cigar.
Smoke shop, yeah.
Yeah, smoke
I
shop.
I think the sign is still there.
Yeah, I think it's still there. And we would get, we'd go, okay, I'm going to get a $5 cigar.
What?
What?
Oh, a $5
dude.
Cigar?
Wow.
And then we'd act like, you know, we would like really put the people working there just through the hoops for a $5 cigar. And they're just looking at us, 18-year-old, 17-year-old. But, and then we go smoke them at Centennial Park around the lake. And watch the homeless people
like Ballas do.
Yeah. And just discuss, the world like we had any idea what's going on. But, yeah. But, yeah, him smoking here sounds so good. I love it. I like this.
It's funny because his, we would have celebratory cigars here for milestones for the show. Like, it has happened, twice, I think, maybe three times in the history of our thing. But we would go pick up cigars. And then we would just stand outside and smoke them and be like, can you believe this is happening? Or can you believe we did this? Or can you believe whatever it is? And that's when I get the little buzz and all that kind of stuff. But also on the flip side of it, it's like you said, it sticks with you. The Bocephus ones did not stick with me. Like,
yeah.
Whatever he was smoking,
yeah,
I came in the next day into the studio, you would think. I mean,
yeah,
he was in here
it.
For an hour puffing. Never smelled it. And it was not in my clothes. I could kind of feel it in my nasal hair area that maybe there was a little hint of it, but it was not. Whatever he was smoking, those $26 cigars was some high quality stuff because it did not linger.
That was good. That was good. What else? Who else we have on this week?
Randy Houser.
Randy's great.
Yeah. Sang and Lady A and Jimmy Allen.
Jimmy Allen.
Some great videos to check out as well. If you missed any of those interviews, we got some good stuff.
It's a big weekend for NASCAR here in Nashville. Is getting ready for the I guess now the second year they've done this, and at the Super Speedway, and there's really. They're really trying to tie in country music. You've got Keith Urban, who is doing the kind of the soundtrack for it, their theme song, basically, from his new song. Kane is doing the Grand Marshal duties. And then they're going to have
duty.
They're going to have like people at the racetrack, and then they're going to have cutaways to rooftop bars on Broadway.
So the bands are going to be performing? People like in the middle of the race?
No, let me finish. They're going to cut away to them, and then they're going to do like get people's reaction to the race from Broadway. And I'm like, okay. They're just trying to.
Are they putting big screens up like for people to watch the race while they're out drinking and getting their bar crawl on?
I'm assuming they're going to have to do something like that. Otherwise, people are going to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because otherwise it's just a bunch of drunk woo girls.
So they're trying to combine, because they go, okay, what is Nashville? It's country music. It's Broadway now. And it's racing
bachelorette
now.
Parties.
So they're trying to combine all the stuff that is Nashville into one broadcast. And it's like a 120-person team.
Wow.
Doing it. They're going to have like 19 or 20 hosts or like people who have a mic in front of camera.
Neat.
For the weekend. So yeah, it's going to be good.
I know how well that worked for us. Big D and I did a broadcast from Bourbon Street, Mardi Gras morning one time. And remember, we were at the Royal Sonesta balcony, and we dropped the microphone down to street level. And we're like, we're going to go talk to people. The very first person, I'm like, hey, you having a good time? And I put the mic in their face, and they're like, bleeping, yeah, bleep, bleep, yeah, bleep, 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 yeah. And they walked away, and I'm like, we should tape these.
Yeah.
So we put them on a tape delay, like about 7 to 10 seconds, so we could easily bleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a good thing. And no, that's what I'm thinking. You're going to get a bunch of drunk people, you know, bar hopping, and that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Well,
don't get the girl in the tiara. Don't get the bro in the tank top who's struggling.
But those are the ones that they want to get because they're the characters.
Except they're the ones that are going to swear.
Everybody. I learned something. Everybody swears.
Mm.
They all do. There's no rhyme or reason to it. I remember just going from one to the other, and it was just like everybody just had their swear on.
Yeah. I remember we were watching some guys selling some drugs right on this, like,
right below us. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Cops are everywhere. And
he's like, nah. Yeah. You're doing it. It's cool.
And the cops are like, yeah, you know. We got other things to do. Those are going to kill themselves, they can, but we got other things to do.
Well, it's like I was out in a place where marijuana is legal, and people were just smoking on the street, and I was so confused.
Oh, really?
I'm like, people, that is bold, sir. And then I see another guy. I'm like, what is happening? Oh, right. You guys can do that here. And honestly, I don't like the smell, and I'm afraid it's going to get in my clothes. So can you blow that the other way, please? Thank you. I little just say no kid over here. How are you?
I don't like the smell of it. I can smell it in someone's car when they're driving in front of me or two cars in front. It's so pungent, and I can't imagine having that on you, the smell, that smoke on in your clothes all day.
I like the smell of cigarette smoke from about 30 feet away when it wafts through the air. Regular cigarette. Not too close. It has to be it gets
diluted.
Yeah, it gets diluted as it wafts towards you. And I'm like, this is nice.
I am so sensitive to cigarette smoke that we had somebody smoking outside our building one day. This is a few years back. And we had our door propped open. And it came down the hall into my studio. And I ran outside and I'm like, shut this door. I don't need this smoke in here. I was not a pleasant person that day. So, yeah.
Who was it? Was somebody
people
real
we work with?
Oh, it was people we work with.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
So that was yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was yelling at people. What am I do? Yell at a famous person? No.
The reason I thought it was a famous person is because they had the door propped open.
Yeah.
In other words, they didn't have a way to get in.
No, the reason these people had the door propped open was because it was cold out. So we want to smoke and still trying to have the heat from the building. No, nope, nope. I slammed the door on them. Nope. You will freeze and you will enjoy your cancer sticks.
Yeah, man, smoking was, I remember, I was watching, I enjoy watching Andy Griffith at night, on the afternoon sometimes, and just kind of chilling out. And there's an episode where he comes out and he's smoking a cigarette. Andy's smoking a cigarette. And I was like,
wow.
What?
Right?
Wow. Yeah, it was a thing, man. And they would do endorsements. You watch old newscasts on networks, and they're smoking at the desk doing the news.
Yeah, that's right.
Like Walter Cronkite era
like
stuff.
Like Edward R. Murrow, people like that.
Edward R. Murrow.
And you would have, there would be advertisements of doctors promoting and talking about, hey, if you want a good, you know, a good cigarette, consider, you know, Paul Mall or whatever.
Lucky Strike.
Lucky Strike. And they're doctors, you know, and they're smoking in there. It's crazy. I mean, it was a different world.
My dad had, like, when he was in the Air Force, they had this little Lucky Strike LSMFTTs or something like that is what it was. And it was like Lucky Strike means something. But he had the slogan, but they had their alternate slogan. And it was funny because it was not family friendly. And my dad's like, we're doing this big family get together and we're all kind of drinking because that's, you know, what you do. And dad starts just, well, LSSFMMT, it means Lucky Strike. And I'm like, Dad, you just said this in front of everyone. I love my dad.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's just sits around and watches baseball all day. Baseball and Westerns. It's his time of year.
Good.
Like, I don't think in winter he's not as happy because then it's all Westerns all the time.
It's too much. He needs balance.
Yeah, there's not enough sports
on TV.
Little
variety.
Yeah. So at least like this time of year he can go between, you know, watching Gunsmoke and The Rifleman to a little baseball. He always complains because it's always Boston or New York on. Boston or New York. Dad, just because they're the big TV markets and they're going to get it every time. I said, you're always going to see the Dodgers, the Yankees, sometimes Chicago, Boston, but it's always going to be the big TV markets. Well, that's stupid. Like, no, it's not. It's called business.
Yeah.
Still stupid.
Your dad going to watch the College World Series?
He is.
All right.
He has been watching the College World Series religiously.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, man. First game.
Ole Miss?
Yep.
Yep. Carson went to Ole Miss.
I did. Did you
play baseball?
Amazingly enough, no.
Wow.
I played softball. Not like Ole Miss softball, but I played like pickup league softball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do you still play pickup league softball?
No. Oh, gosh. I haven't played in years. I was terrible.
I was going to say, would you like to?
No. My arm is so out of shape that I would go to throw to the tennis ball for my dog, and I was embarrassed by how far it didn't go. I used to just bring a tennis racket. Because I'm like, this is the only way this poor dog's going to get exercise. Otherwise, he's standing there going, ma'am, really?
To throw the ball for your dog to fetch, you would hit it with a tennis racket?
That way he could really run and zoom and take off because I wasn't throwing more than about 20 feet.
Actually, I was about to make fun of it, but I'm thinking that's pretty genius. Who taught you that?
Oh, I don't know. I just came up with it.
I'm sure
I'm not the first person to do that.
Well, I used to have a greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to run, like, I would go to the park with him and, like, I would run him for a little while because you're supposed to run them every day.
Yes.
I would throw the ball, but it was so short. But if you can crank that thing out there with a tennis racket, that's
when I go
brilliant.
Over to the park over here, a lot of people will go in the soccer fields when they're not being used and they throw the ball for their dog. But it's a stick that has, it looks almost like Hi-Li. That it's got the scoop on the end, and they scoop the ball, and they toss it for the dog.
Yeah.
So it's somebody's making money off, instead of me just buying a tennis racket, somebody's making money off this stupid scoop that because everybody has them when I see them tossing the ball for their dog.
Yeah, because it goes further.
It does go further. But
it's like
you could have just bought like a bat.
What do they call
it? Tennis racket?
Like the spear thing, like a tetrachel or something like that, or axolotl? No?
I don't know
what that is.
It's like where you have a stick at the end of the spear, so it's like a right angle kind of thing. So when you throw the stick, it sends the spear faster and further and all that.
Oh.
It's like ancient weapon
stuff. Oh, wow. Okay.
I think it's axolotl or something like that.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. Now I'm Googling it, and that's bad. I can't even find it.
Are you going to any shows this weekend, Carson?
No, I have Def Leppard, Motley Crue, and Poison next week, though.
One show? That's all one?
Yeah, with Joan Jett on the bill, too. So that is an all-day affair. Yeah,
How long is that?
I believe it starts at 4:30, and it goes till a little past 11. And it's at the stadium, which means there's no cover. So I may have to wear a hat.
It's going to be a Nissan Stadium?
Yeah, yeah.
And who all is it in
there? Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett.
Is Motley Crue the one that they can't sing anymore?
Yes. Yes, that would be Vince Neil.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I saw him last fall doing Motley Crue songs. He was doing like Kickstart My Heart and a couple other ones. And he actually...
No, he didn't. Cute. That's cute that you say that. No, he didn't. No, that's where he fell off the stage.
But I saw him do that.
Where?
At the race.
Oh, where that was piped in.
What?
Yeah, that was piped in. Yeah, that was piped in.
What?
He's lip syncing it?
Yeah. Oh. Oh, it was piped in. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes. Because I watched the videos and I was quite sure that, Vince hasn't been able to sing in 20 years. No, that's why I'm so glad Motley's closing.
Wait a minute. He fooled me?
Yeah. Oh, big surprise.
I must have had a good buzz.
Yeah.
Because I'm normally really good and I pick up on that kind of stuff. He was off on some of the notes.
Yeah, no.
Unless they piped in old recordings of live performances.
He also might have been singing over a backing track, and the backing track will hit the notes for him.
I bet that was it then, because he was a little.
Of course he was, because he's Vince, he's awful.
Allegedly, he was a little.
They say that as somebody who loves Motley Crue, loves their music, but I have seen them way too many times in the last two decades, and it is always a disaster, whether it's Vince solo or with the band. And they're switching off headliners every night. Some nights Def Leppard closes, some nights Motley closes. And in Nashville, Motley's closing. And I'm like, sweet, I'm going to beat traffic. I'm going home early. Bye. Yeah.
So who sings now? I mean, do they just do the backing track all the time?
No, no. If you watch the videos from the tour, Vince is...
trying?
Singing, if you want to call it that. Oh, yeah, it's bad. It's
Can Def Leppard sing?
Yep.
They sing.
Yeah, no, to be fair, Joe... can't quite hit some of the notes that he hit when he was 23, but they drop registers. And then also one of the other guys in Leppard, Phil, sounds a whole lot like Joe. So sometimes they'll double up on vocals
to hit the notes.
The thing about Leppard, and I understand they're my favorite band, so of course I'm quite a defender, but they are a precision-based machine. When they come out, you are getting a show. It is professional. It is polished. If you're looking for them to stop the show and play your favorite song, no. They have their marching orders. They're doing what they do. They will come out. They will perform that routine that they have practiced, and it is spectacular.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's professional. And most people, look, they're not me. They haven't seen them, 50 some odd times. And so when you go to the show, it's a great experience. You're like, they played every song I want to hear. And they did it well. And they did it really the way that I remember it from the record.
That's how Big D and I feel about Stryper. And a lot of people, if you've never seen or heard Stryper live, they'll blow your mind. I mean, we saw them a couple years back, and they were astounding. Well, I was shocked recently because Michael Sweet admitted that this is the first year they've had to drop the tuning.
The key down.
Oh, yeah, really?
They had to he's... all the way up until this point. So you're talking almost 40 years of being able to hit these crazy, insane high notes.
He does. He's got an insanely amazing range, but also he's got the power behind it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, crazy. And he said, this is the first. Okay. He said, I've always been so proud of the fact that I've never had to drop the keys and I can hit these notes. He said, I can still hit the notes, but it's harder and harder. And so they dropped it, and he did like a little side-by-side. Man, he's still hitting. Even dropping it a little bit, they're still hitting some crazy high notes things like that because he was so high to begin with.
No, he's such a good vocalist, though, that even taking it down a register, he's still – what he's putting behind it is still incredible.
Yeah.
So they played here a little while ago, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And a friend of mine had invited me to the show, and then he never followed up to tell me he was going, and he starts sending me pictures from the show. And I go, I would have met you out there. I would have gone.
Big D and I would have gone.
No, you wouldn't have.
No.
But that's cute.
We've gone. We did it once. Well, we introduced him, I guess.
It was amazing, though.
I was there that night. I didn't know you guys yet.
It was.
I was there that night.
It was amazing. Did you see us on stage?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I did, because I go, why are Big D and Bubba doing this? Because I'm like, are those the guys from that country station? Yeah, and which, you know, now I know you're a fan.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only. Yeah, they came to us. Patrick was like, "Hey, Art, do you guys want to?" We're like, "Yes, we do." It was a kind of a once in a lifetime thing for us,
and it was not our crowd. You know, we got up in front of these people. We knew that most of them didn't know who we were. You know, because it's a rock thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool. It was such a cool moment to be up on stage like that. Like, I would have loved to. I think if there's somebody else, I would have loved to have introduced. I think maybe like a Tony Bennett or somebody that. That would have been another one that I would have put on that list.
I was the DJ at that venue. That's where I also taught line dancing. And every once in a while, we'd have a band come in and they'd ask people from a radio station to come do it. And when they wouldn't show up, they'd pull me. So one night I got grabbed to bring Kenny Loggins on stage.
Okay.
And they brought me backstage to meet him. And he was the nicest guy, but they were very.
You got to go into the danger zone?
I did. I was like, all right, I'll go meet Kenny Loggins.
Playing with the boys.
But not him. It was his person who wanted to make sure that I introduced him from, I don't think it's Santa Monica, but it's another Santa town.
Santa Cruz.
One of those, but in California. And
Santa
it was
Carla,
like,
very, where the vampires are.
It was like, very, make sure that you say from Santa blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I mean, does anybody care where Kenny Loggins is
Nobody
from?
Cares. We had somebody who did the same kind of thing. I don't know what it is with management and. Maybe somebody can inform us.
Yeah.
Those intros that they tell you to do, like, okay, you could go up there, you can kill 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever amount of time you need, but make sure that you say this, 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 and this, this way. And they're done. Nobody cares where somebody's from. I want you guys to pay attention. When you're at a concert, whenever there's somebody introducing the band, oftentimes they say the name of the record company, and that is the dumbest thing. I hate doing record company drops. No offense, whomever record company you are, nobody cares. From Fertility Records, it's so-and-so. Who cares?
Like, yep. Wait, now I know. What?
Hold on. Let me take a note. Fertility
and that dates
records.
Back. That goes really far back, even like Elvis times.
Right,
they
right.
Do all that. Sign records.
I always, and we had a, remember that one guy got mad because we didn't do it. We did the same artist a couple times in the same year. And he was like, you didn't say it enough as well. So Big D and I went out there and we're like, we said basically every other word we said was the name of the record company. And we just said it over and over and over and over. And it was the dumbest. It was basically us just being spiteful, going, hey, oh, record company, record company,
good
record company,
you.
Record company. Here's the artist. I mean, it was like.
It is. It's so silly. I was, I'd been invited. Friends of mine that were in a band were playing on a bill in very, very northern Minnesota. And we get there and the band had
Canada?
Put us. It basically was. I didn't realize quite how far into Minnesota we were going. And so we get there and they have us not just on the list of with the band, but we're also media. And so they're like, oh my gosh, you're from Nashville. Would you guys do stage announcements for us? And I go, we're from Nashville. Nobody cares. Nobody cares who they're like, no, 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 we'd love you on stage. So luckily my buddy with me, who's like a ham, I just get out there and stand next to him, and he's just working the crowd. And I'm like, man, these people are drunk enough. They'll cheer for anything, thankfully, because I really thought they were going to be like, okay, Nashville, like, what are you doing here?
Did they have you say that you were from
Nashville? Yes, they wanted us, because they thought it made them sound bigger. The two random kids from Nashville showed up. I was like, hey, I was just here to go, like, hang with the dudes backstage, but all right, I'll go work for my ticket. Here it is. Yeah, very odd.
That is kind of weird.
People are weird.
So weird.
Anyway.
Oh, we forgot to do the new gold.
Oh.
Oh, we got to, yeah, hit it.
Do you want to do it now or do you want to save it for next podcast?
No, go ahead and hit it. It'll be our out.
I'm having a happy day again. I'm having fun.
It's my favorite. I love her. She is just having fun.
Can you play it again?
It's some TikToker Big D follows.
I'm having a happy day again. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Did you see the big TikTok shakeup?
No.
That now the most followed person has changed? That the, you know the dude who does the reaction videos where people will do life hack videos and they'll do super complicated stuff to like frost a cake and he'll just look at the camera and turn his hands up and go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like he doesn't, yeah, he doesn't even say anything. He just makes the face. Mm-hmm. He is now the most followed person and he beat out that Charlie girl who's like 18 and just does dances. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw a Charlie D'Amato. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and he...
He beat her.
He beat her, okay.
And she... The thing is, she's...
I hope you don't get arrested.
She has an empire because the ring light I have in my studio is from her brand.
It's a Charlie D'Amato ring light.
It's her and her sister. It's like Dixie and Charlie because that's what they had at Walmart. And I thought, I can't believe I'm buying this from an 18-year-old in Connecticut. But
oh,
here we
from
are.
Connecticut?
I think so, yeah.
Well, she's one of your people.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I feel, yeah.
Oh, you one guys should Italian go have pizza girls. Together. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, dude. She's, I mean, boy, you want me to feel ancient. Let me hang out with a TikToker.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Do you do the dances, little girl? Good for you.
I'm having a happy day again. I'm having fun.
All right, you guys have a good weekend.
All right, everybody have a great weekend. Bye. We'll see you later.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay.
That's okay.
You can listen to the regular show on the radio
I'm having fun.
Every day. It was the podcast.